We're going to be looking at Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and chapter 2, 18 to 25. We've got a few other things we're going to look at. I want to look today at gender and relationship. We're looking at, once again, a cultural mandate. That cultural mandate was made up of be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. That's plank number one. Plank number two said that we were to subdue the earth. That's where we get work from. Plank number three, that we're to have dominion over the critters. We have a responsibility to all created things that we are going to provide for them, take care of them, and make sure that we are not harming the earth in such a way that they cannot live. All of us were to live together in harmony on this planet. That was the goal. Now, I'm understanding that we have a real problem because of what sin has done in this world. But I want you to know, you have been born again. Created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of it all. This cultural mandate has never been abrogated. It has been repeated from Adam and Eve. It was repeated again when it came to Noah. It is something that's going on all the way through this earth phase two and will continue on later. That's why we chose to use as our ministry maxim, we chose this. We are here to transform lives. We are here to build community because we are destined to lead. We're here to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because that's the only thing that will transform people. If you cannot see that we are living in a powder keg right now, people angry about so many things, there is only one cure, kids. It's not jobs. The one cure is the Lord Jesus Christ. Their people have to be in a relationship with their creator or there can't be a transformation. And without transformed people, we're not going to have communities. We're going to have continuing, ready to blow up powder kegs. The thing has been lit, kids. We're in some serious situations all across our country. Matter of fact, if I can say it, all across the world. There's some serious things going on everywhere. Jesus Christ is the only answer to that. Not option number two, it's the only answer. And brothers and sisters, we who are transformed have been called on to see what that cultural mandate was, begin to build communities that are communities of love and understanding, of compassion, of the Savior itself, and to practice good leadership because we are going to be leading with Him in the world which is to come. Now, having said those things about this cultural mandate, we're looking at this first plank of it. This first plank talks about our relationship to each other. The second plank, subdue the earth, talks about our relationship to the created world around us. The third plank on the animals gives for us that plank that tells us how we're to deal with the other creatures on this planet. It's never been abrogated, and we're still under it. We who have been born again should have a better view of this and should be looking it over very carefully to see to it that we're doing just exactly that. So what I'd like to do is just go over some few things with you. Letter A in your outline. This is under the order of God's awesome creation. I don't know about you, but I love this creation. I know this is phase two, and I know it's under judgment. I know it's under a curse, but a good fresh walk in this world, it just is a refreshing thing. To take a walk, just to go out, just in the backyard at times and watch things grow is refreshing to me. Just to see how things are, to see people, to observe all the things that are going on, that's refreshing. I enjoy this creation. And what it does for me, it just makes me want to stop and praise the Creator Himself. Every time it comes out of my mind and thought that way. I want you to look with me this. Under the order of God's awesome creation, the first thing I want to say is the whole system is created in an interrelated, interactive, mutually beneficial system to reflect the Trinity and is fully dependent upon His provision and goodness. Now, what I mean by reflect the Trinity. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There was never a better team than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In complete agreement all the time, doing different functions, but in complete and total agreement. So when they created a world, when the God creates a world with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He's going to create a world of interrelated things. that will work together just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember we sang that song this morning? The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. His glory is things operating the way He said for them to operate. That's how the earth is full of His glory. Every time you see a tree, every time you see the grass, every time you see animals devouring that sort of stuff, every time you see us eating a good salad, every time you see us taking any food in, do you understand that's a whole lot of interrelated systems that are interactive with each other, that are mutually beneficial to one another? And when you see that going, give glory to God, because they are working together in a way sometimes that we just simply take for granted, much in the same way we take for granted our God. I want you to consider with me just a few verses. Look at Romans 1 and verse 20. Romans 1 and verse 20. God has made Himself known through the creation itself. There are things you can see about God in that creation. So the creation itself speaks to us of the glory of God. The creation itself opens our hearts to the truth. Listen to what it says in Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. God is not seen. God's a spirit. We can't see Him any place. But we can see Him through the things which He created. Look what He said. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Every time you see this interrelated work going on, you can rejoice in God, because that's just exactly the way the Trinity operates. In that interrelated, mutually beneficial way, they're interactive with each other. They take counsel with each other. Acts 17, if you would please. Look with me there. Acts 17. Paul speaking to pagans on a hillside outside of Athens makes this statement. We will come to 24 to 26. Acts 17, 24 to 26. God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. You see that? God has made all things so that they're interrelated, interactive with each other. He's the one that keeps them all alive. They are fully dependent upon Him for all their provision. Now, if I can share this with you, can you see how, since all of those things are interrelated and they all work together, and that reflects on the glory of God, do you see what a problem it is when people who are made the same way do not get along with each other? Do you understand what an offense to Almighty God that is? And I'm simply saying, because we are not showing the glory of God in getting along with each other, because we have some sort of bias, we have some sort of prejudice, we have some sort of hatred, that does not glorify God. As a matter of fact, it is sin against the Almighty. Everybody follow where I'm at? So if I can say, look at this. If you have in your heart any sort of bias, prejudice, bigotry, anything about somebody, ask God, the creator of all things, to take that from your heart. Take that from your heart. You have been born again. You're a child of God. And God has so loved this whole world that He gave His Son for that. That's why Jesus is the cure for every problem, even us not getting along. If you would consider Psalm 104. Every time that I want to just think over God's great creation, I go back to Psalm 104. I love this psalm. And if you haven't focused on it for a little while, I'd like you to spend some time with Psalm 104. It's got some wonderful things to say. We'll look at just a few of the verses there. This is so good. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover Yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. You lay the beams of Your upper chambers in the waters. You make the clouds Your chariot, the wings. You walk on wings with the wind. He makes His angels spirits, His ministers a flame of fire. There isn't anything made that God doesn't deal with. He made it all. And he's got some use for it all. I want you to look with me just for a moment at verse 14. I wish we'd had time to read all 35 verses and talk about them all. Maybe another time. Look what it says. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees, the high hills are for wild goats, and the cliffs are for refuge for the rock badgers. You hear how he uses all of it? The whole of creation. Even those things that are difficult for us. I remember one time we had climbed to the top of a peak out in Colorado, and it's somewhere around 13,000, 14,000 feet. We got up the peak up there, and wow, what a view there is from there. You can see a whole lot of things from 14,000 feet, and it goes a long, long way. And as we were up there, and that, you know, I'm panting up there, because by the time we got up there, there's not as much air there as there was where I left. And while we're sitting there, out of one of the rocks comes a marmot. I thought, what are you doing up here? Do you not know there's no air to breathe up here? Do you not know this is rocks up here? There is nothing up here? An old marmot came and just sat and looked at us for a moment. And we took a bit of our sandwich and tossed it over there, and marmot ate it right up. Doritos, chips, celery. And a lot of people giving up their celery. And that marmot sat there and ate all of that. He's one of those little rock badgers that lives there. Why? Because God smiles about it. God says, look at that. I got my marmot living right there. Nothing else living there. And I'm going to feed him. I'm going to take care of him. Now, he didn't count on food from us all the time. God was feeding that thing all the time. I'm always amazed when I find where God's feeding things, aren't you? If you wouldn't, look with me at a couple of other verses. Look over at verse 27 just for a moment, where he's talking about all the animals, he's talking about everything that's going on. He says this about it, verse 27, these all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. But you hide your face and they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Now watch this. You send forth your spirit and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. When I read that verse, I realized this, that every spring that rolls around, the Holy Spirit is moving over this whole place just like he did in the beginning, hovering over the face of the deep. And that Holy Spirit breathes life into everything so that that grass gets a whole new green to it, a liquid green. And as my landlord said down in Branson, all the leaves ooze out, all the trees ooze out this green leaf. And it's a different color green than it's going to be later in the summer. It's such a rich, full of sap green. And the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit renews that. May I say that? That's the same Holy Spirit that gave to you everlasting life. That's the same Holy Spirit that's living in you right now to renew you. This whole thing, this whole interrelated, interactive, created thing, God renews with the Holy Spirit all the time. It all counts on him. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. Go on into letter B. The whole living system was created with its own ongoing reproduction to reflect the self-sustaining God, the I Am who created it. This was the blessing and command. Now here's what we mean by that. All the living system, according to Genesis chapter 1, he said to it, be fruitful and multiply. You have your seed within you. You are going to keep on reproducing. Now, why did he do that? I want to just remind you that God is this Jehovah. And that name Jehovah, that which is actually four Hebrew letters, YHVH or YHWH, and no one really knows how to pronounce it because his name is not, in the Hebrew text, it's not pointed accurately to speak. So the best they try to come up with is Jehovah. The Hebrew people did not want, when they wrote the scriptures down, for anyone to ever use that name, that's his personal name, ever in vain. So they made it with just, sometimes they don't even write the letters out. They write Adonai instead and put Yahweh in the margins so that you will not make a mistake and say that name. You'll say instead Adonai, which means Lord, Master, because that's his personal name. And that name right there means the everlasting one. It's the I am. It's the one that needs nothing outside of himself. He keeps on sustaining himself so that he could say, I am what I was, I am what I am, and I am what I will be, all at the same time. He's the eternal God, so he can be past, present, and future at exactly the same time. And when he creates an earth, he's going to create something that's full of his glory. So he's going to create an earth that is self-sustaining. It just keeps on doing it. It just keeps on reproducing all the time because that's his provision for all those critters. And when those critters die, there are more critters going to come because each of those critters has within itself the capacity to reproduce. And it's supposed to reproduce. That is a blessing and command. That brings glory to God. That's what he designed it for. That's what it does. When he decides to take away its breath, it dies. When he decides to give it breath, it's alive. That's why he would be so careful in his law to say, anyone who sheds man's blood will have to have his blood shed for it. You follow me? Because it brings to a close the very thing that brings him glory in things being reproduced. Now watch this, kids. He has called on us as believers in Christ to reproduce. Let me share with you what I mean by that. Because of the kingdom change, we don't have just the cultural mandate. We have a mandate that we're supposed to reproduce other believers. We're bringing the gospel to other people. And his gospel, that interaction of the gospel and his spirit with that human heart, causes that person to be born again. That's reborn. Everybody follow where I'm at? That's God's creative power. And may I say to you, that brings him glory and honor. That's what he ordained, that we should bear fruit. Everybody with that? Going on to letter C. The whole of the lighting system is set up for ongoing signs of his order. Seasons, days, and years, and his omnipresence. Look with me while you, if you're in Psalm 104, just skip over to Psalm 19 real quick. Let's take a look at that. Psalm 19. When he designed this whole system, according to Genesis chapter 1, it was set up for signs and seasons, for days and years. And what that does, that reflects the order that God is. God is not a spontaneous, just move anything he wants to. God orderly does everything he does. Even the way he created things was orderly. Even the way he presented Messiah was an orderly way. The way that he's bringing things to a close is an orderly way. He has already stated to us in prophecy what he's going to do to bring things to a close. It's all going to be very orderly, just exactly the way he said he was going to do it. Because God is orderly. Chaos and confusion do not come from God unless God has seen something that's going on with people that he removed from them light so that they're now walking in darkness. Darkness will always create confusion and chaos. He's not the author of confusion because God is orderly. And the way he set up this world was orderly. It was made to be orderly. Going on about with this, he made those for signs. Psalm 19, 1-6 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Every time, I think someone was talking about, every time you go outside and you have an opportunity to look up and recognize the regularity, the order, and what all of those things are doing. It's all right. It's okay. Thank you, Father. Every time that those things happen, every time that you get to see the sun go up, the sun go down, every time that takes place should be an opportunity for you to praise the Lord for his order and that those things are now speaking. There's not a language on earth that does not speak, does not hear and understand what the whole of creation is saying. Doesn't matter what island they live on, how far back in the boonies they are, everybody hears that in their own language. They see it. It's going on. It happens every day, kids. And what's more, he said those things would be for signs. And he used those things as signs. That's how the people knew when a new moon was coming. That's how they knew when the Sabbaths were. That's how they knew when the festivals were. There is a festival coming up right away here. It's coming upon us just very shortly, in which Rosh Hashanah will be here. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the new year. The month of Tishri begins, the seventh month. And in that seventh month, there are some peculiarities that are taking place in the heavens once again. And he already told us that the heavens would be one of the signs about his coming, that the sun would be darkened, the moon would be turned to blood, and that the stars would fall. He said he's going to use all of those things as signs for the coming of the Lord. This month, we will see the fourth blood moon, a tetrad, if you would. A sign of something. What? I wouldn't be foolish enough to tell you. I don't know that I know. But I do know this. Economists, politicians, national people are all very concerned about this month. For this month brings to a close the seventh cycle. There are years, God set it up on 7-year cycles. And this month brings to a close another seven, and the Jubilee year begins. And in Jubilee year, all debts are forgiven, and all lands are returned to their rightful owner. Kids, there are things going to be happening soon that should cause us to quake, not just a little bit. For I'm telling you that the United Nations is preparing now to call for and make a proposal for and pass a free Palestinian state. The land doesn't belong to Palestine. It belongs to Israel. I would not suggest this would be a good time to be making those kinds of statements. Psalm 2 has said, let's put off his ordinances. Let's put off all the things. Let's do things our own way. Kids, if you are not being intentional about your faith, now's a great time to get intentional. Signs and wonders are about to take place that I think we need to be very, very wise on. Now, there'll be those, and I want to share this with you. We have been so steeped in naturalism for so long, we don't even think that God can do anything anymore. He just set the whole thing. We're more like deists. He started it all in operation. He just got the whole thing working like it's supposed to. He hasn't anything to do with this creation anymore. I want you to stop just a minute and consider this. In Revelation chapter 7, he said, the angels hold the four winds of heaven and earth. The angels hold them. I just shared with you that it's his spirit that renews the earth. His spirit is his breath. That's what renews the earth, kids. I want you to know this. Weather happens because of God, not simply because of natural occurrences. We've been so steeped in so many natural things going on that we just count them to be just acts of nature, as if nature was some sort of little entity all of its own. It is not. This is your Father's world. All right? Enough said about that. We'll have more about that later. Letter D. It is all created for his glory and complete enjoyment. It brings him pleasure that he wants all of creation, especially man, to enjoy with him. all of creation he wants it to enjoy. He created it all for his glory and his complete enjoyment. When he created us, he made us for his pleasure, and he made us so that we would enjoy this earth. He gave it to us to be enjoyed, to freely enjoy. When we're not doing that, do you see how it does not glorify God? The whole earth is his, and it's for his own glory. Enough said about that for right now. Letter E. It is the awesomeness of God to mediate the operation of his world to his creation. The sovereign one allows us to participate with him in glorious work. Can you imagine the joy of God? Just think with this for a minute. Let's take ourselves back to creation. And let's see what God is doing. He's creating all of these things. And as he creates each one, he says, that's good. That's good. That's good. That will reproduce. That will be self-sustaining. That will continue to go on. These things here be for signs. Good, I'll use them in a regular way to make those signs work. Yes, I'm creating this earth, this body of ocean here, teeming with animals, and they also be reproducing, and I'm making this sky to be reproducing. Yes, this is going to be good, and I'm making all these animals to reproduce. And I'm going to put somebody in my place on this planet to mediate this planet in my place. I'm going to allow him to participate with me in this glorious act. Is that cool or what? And if I could say this, when you were born again, do you get what happened to you? He made you his representative to use your mouth and your life to bring people to new life. He is letting us participate with him in saving souls, in building a community that honors him. That is so cool. That is just beyond description. Why would this one who can do it, look, if he can speak it all into being, why wouldn't he just continue to speak it all? Because it was his joy to pick you to work with him. So that you would enjoy it, he would enjoy it, there would be praise, there would be glory. That same thing is true when you're presenting the gospel to someone. That same thing is true when you're participating in a sexual relationship with your wife or husband. You follow where we're at? This is God saying, that glorifies me. That's the way I made it. That's what I wanted it to be. Let's go on a little further. Wow, that participation is known as obedience. It's known as obedience, and it glorifies God. Number two, the order of God's awesome creation of man and the mandates of his purpose. The cultural mandate. He mandated certain things to be true. Certain things that would be true, that would be our participation with him. Our participation involved would be fruitful and multiply. It would be to subdue the earth, do our work. It would be for us to take care of the creatures on this planet. We would learn about God's provision as we make sure we're taking care of them. We would learn about God's creativity as we're producing things from the materials he's given us on this earth. And God would enjoy it. We would enjoy it. That was the intent. And may I say to you, that's exactly what's going to happen in this restored creation that's coming. That's exactly what's going to happen. All of those things that we are going to get to work during that time, and things are going to produce the way they're supposed to produce. We'll be bringing the glory that we have attained from making these things back to God again and say, here's the gold nugget you gave me, and here's the gold thing that I've made from it. Here's the brush you gave me, here's the canvas you gave me, and here's the different colors that you provided that I've turned into paint, and I'll paint this drawing. Here is this painting I've made for you. You follow where we're at? It's your work, kids. It's your work. It's your calling. It glorifies God. Let me go on a little bit further with you. Second page. Providing I've got a second page. Yes. Now note this. God isn't just turning this thing loose to anyone. He created man in his image. And he did create man first. I'll go with that. He created that man in his own image so that when he mediates, when he does what God wants done, he's doing it the way God does it because he's thinking the way God thinks. He's now in relationship with God so he can hear from God, learn from God, and use what he learns from God to create. Use what he learns from God to be fruitful. Use what he learns from God to be provision, to be a provisionary, okay? Letter B. It was God's word that it is not good for the man to be alone. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 just for a moment. This is the God who said it is very good. He called it very good at the end of the sixth day. Sometime in that sixth day, he made a man. And sometime in that sixth day, the man named all the critters. Then sometime in that sixth day, God made the woman. Let's look and see. And the one thing he said that was not good, what is not good for man to be alone. All right, let's go on with that. It is not good for the man to be alone. He cannot reflect God's relationship, and he cannot be fruitful and multiply. Look, he's called on to do a certain work, and with a companion with him, he'll be able to do that work better than he could by himself. With a companion, he's going to make dominion over all the animals, going to make provision for all the animals, going to take care of all the animals. He would have to have a companion in order to be fruitful and multiply. And what's more, if he's all by himself, he cannot reflect the relationship of the Trinity. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All working together as a team. So he creates the woman as a complement to him in order that a relationship could be established that'll be a relationship reflective of the one in the Trinity. Later he's going to show us it's reflective of the one of Christ and his church. There was a necessary item that he did here with this. Look with me at Genesis 2, 18. Well, let's look at verse 15 and work our way down to 18. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it you'll surely die. Verse 15, he's tending and keeping the garden. That's subduing the earth. Everybody with me? That's subduing the earth. Go on to verse 18, if you would. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, here's something I've noticed that God does. When God wants people to have something, he first of all makes them hungry for it. You see, he doesn't just put stuff out there. He makes you hungry for it. So he created our system so that we would want to eat. And wanting to eat, what do you know? He had provided for us all this wonderful vegetation that was all around. I always marvel, wondering, who was the first guy that figured out you could make dandelion tea? Who's the first guy that figured out you can eat lettuce, but you sure don't want to eat sumac? Who's the first guy that makes the first tincture, made the first salve? Who's the first guy that made the first powder? Who's the first guy that did that? And why? It's because of this communication with God. All of those things are coming up because God put them that way, and he takes delight in us discovering it. It's the glory of God to hide what to hide in something that's healing properties. It's the glory of man to discover it. I found it. How many of you got the little plantain growing in your yard? You know what a little plantain is, a little plant plantain? Got broad green leaves that kind of come out, and they have their veins run straight up and down rather than back and forth. That little thing's got a little head on the top of it and so forth. You cannot believe all the healing properties that in that plantain that's in your front yard. It's in your backyard. You probably have been trying to get rid of it for a long time. Well, anyway, God put all that there. Everybody see what I'm talking about this? All right. Now, he was tending that garden, taking care of that garden. He might make him a helper comparable to him. Somebody that's going to be able to work with him. So he's making this woman in that image. So letter C, woman in the image of God is created to be the exact complement to the man. She finishes him off. She is the sufficiency for him. Where he was insufficient, she's sufficient. Now, gang, that is what our marriages are to be about. Not just about this. Sometimes we'll use the term love. We use it as if that has something to do with romance or attraction or whatever else. I don't doubt we should be attracted to people. But I also know that that attraction can also lead us into doing things we ought not to do. This is me saying this, okay? This is not what God says. I'm just saying this. Once we are married together, we should be dressing beautifully and modestly, not attractively. Now think with me very carefully what I'm saying for that. What does the word attraction mean? It is to attract, is it not? What are we needing to attract? Wives, look, if you got Mr. Perfect, be happy with that. Look, what did you hear that one? It just kind of wandered through there. Like I thought, did I just say that to the front rows here? But it just kind of trickled to the back. And I thought, what was that? Okay, so if you got the guy, and sir, if you got the girl, what more do you think you need? Then, can we dress for each other? Can we dress for the Lord? You follow where I'm at? I'll talk about that another time. It's just too much, and I don't want to lose everybody right now. Okay? She is the only complement to fulfill the mandate God has given him. She is made as the perfect companion for him. She is companionship to correspond to the relationship of the Trinity. There's going to be conversation there. There's going to be cooperation in work. There's going to be cooperation in setting goals. There's going to be cooperation in completing them. There's going to be cooperation in creating a family that makes a community, that's going to make a neighborhood, that's going to make a county, that's going to make a state. All of that's going on with that companionship that's going on. Letter B, in composition. Her body type is just the same as his body type. They are both sharing human DNA. There's not a possum anywhere in anybody. There's not a raccoon anywhere in anybody. It's all human DNA. She is his exact complement in composition. As a matter of fact, it says very clearly, took out of his side. Never does mention that she was made out of earth. It does mention she came out of his side. That must have been a pretty good operation. I'm not sure how much came out with that. I know it says a rib, but I'm not sure how much skin, muscle, and everything else you take with that. All I know is this. She was formed in such a way that he would now say, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So don't see that she was made of the dirt. She was made from him, okay? And we have some more we want to say about that when we talk about that next week. Anatomically, she is made to correspond to, guess what, be fruitful and multiply. Okay? It is abomination to attempt the sexual relationship with the earth. How could you do that with inanimate objects? That's abomination. It would be an abomination to have that opportunity with animals, what we would call bestiality. That's an abomination. Why? Because it's not the way it's designed. That's not the way it's made. Okay? Going on further, it would be abomination to try to have a sexual relationship with another male. And the same would be true for her with another female. Why? Because it's abomination against the very design of which God made it. It makes no sense, friends. It's just plain and simple. Please, don't get wrapped up in all the philosophical jargon that goes on about who's loving who and should you cheat, should you do that. Stop. Go all the way back to the scripture that talks to you about why did I design it in the first place. Deal with that part of it instead of trying to go to all the philosophical moral relative equivalents for it. It has nothing to do with moral relative equivalence. It has to do with the way God designed the whole thing in the first place. He did not design it about love. Follow what I'm saying. He designed it about a relationship, And we're going to call that love, but sometimes what we're calling love now has something to do with more than just friendship, more than just relationship with each other. We're often branding that as some sort of sexual thing. Friends, sexual thing was given to the one who's your companion. And that companion has to be one that is complementary to you. So it has to be two genders. One from each of the genders. All right. Stepping on further. It's abomination because it is a perversion of the glory of God in His will. All right. The glory of God in His will. There are many things that he called a perversion. One of the things he said are an abomination. One of the things he said was an abomination is stirring up trouble among the brethren. That's an abomination just like either of these have been. Why would that be so? You remember his goal was we're to build communities with each other. Loving, interrelated communities with each other. Mutually beneficial. That's what we were creating. What does the other thing do? What does spreading discourse among brethren do? It breaks the whole community. You see, that's why deceit is also an abomination before him. Because it breaks the unity of what we're supposed to be creating. That's why hands that are swift to shed blood are counted an abomination, because it does away with the very life that God is giving. Life we don't have the authority to deal with. Letter D. God is still sovereign in the operation of the world, even though we are participants with him. Our obedience is to follow his mandated order, but he determines fruitfulness according to his own wisdom and will. We trust his goodness. Now look, just because we plant something doesn't always mean something's coming up. That propagation that takes place of that little seed in the ground is still dependent upon God. For it is God that gives fruitfulness. And may I say that same thing is true in the sexual relationship as well. It is God who in his wisdom and will gives what he wishes to give. And we trust in his goodness. He's not whimsical. He does things wisely and with his good will. But he's in charge of conception. Let me go a little step with you further. The creative purpose of the sexual relationship is procreation. Yes, I know it's going to get me in trouble with somebody. That's all right. I know this. They were created to be fruitful and multiply. And that sexual relationship, its creative purpose was procreation. The fact that we enjoy it doesn't have anything to do with what its purpose was. Okay. Going on further, conception is with God. Look with me at Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Here, God wanted to speak about how everything, remember how as we looked at Psalm 104, we looked at Acts 17, everything depends upon him. Everything depends upon him. Nothing is independent of him. Everything depends on him. He created the creation so that in order for all those things to reproduce as he designed them to do, he would have to be involved with it. Look what happens if he creates a universe that doesn't, that does things completely on its own and never has him. It's not long until the creation becomes the worshipped thing, not the creator. He has never created anything that would rival his glory. So all of the conception of every plant, animal, human on the earth is involved with his power in conception. Not simply the fact that a grass exists. Not simply with the fact that a tree exists. There still has to be Almighty God that works in it. Now watch how the psalmist said it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. It's got to be coming from God. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Belshazzar knew about that. One night he's partying and all the guards are on the wall watching the Babylonian Empire. Unbeknownst to them, they dammed up the water above and dropped down the water enough that the people came in, the conquering army came in underneath the gates of the city and were inside before the guards knew anything about it. And they were there watching. But God had ordained that night Belshazzar's going to die. That night, the Babylonian Empire was over. And it didn't make any difference whether the guards were watching or not. It was gone. Number two, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Rest is just as important as your work is. All right. Number three, then, look how he's putting it this way. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. It's what he wishes to do, not just what we wish to do. Everybody follow where I'm at? Where do I want you to walk away from today? I want you to walk away this, knowing that we are a part of a whole created order. That being fruitful and multiply requires two separate genders. They have to be one of each, a male and a female. And because of that, everything else becomes an abomination. When we're doing everything we can to stop the fruit of the womb through taking its life, we are an abomination to God. You follow where I'm at? And kids, that's 55 million people later. That sure beats the Holocaust all over the place. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he is to us, for the way you've made things, Father, for the way you've done things. Think of the beauty and the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask just now, Father, as we have opportunity to look over the world in which you've created for us, that we'll be a people humbled by it all and willing to work with you in every way. You are awesome. We believe you and we trust you. Thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.